Hello and welcome to Terrifying Robot Dog. I'm Jonathan Stark.
I'm Kelly Shaver.
And we're here to talk about how technology is changing the way we interact with the world. This week, terrifying robot cats and acrobats. Man, the robot world seems to be, I was going to say heating up, but really it's been hot and it's just cruising right along.
Yeah, this is fun.
Big time. So, terrifying robot cat... before we do that, is there any housekeeping?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. There's one update. You know, alert readers, listeners would have perhaps noticed last week I mentioned that the Apple AirPods work with the Pixel 2 and an Android device. And I said mistakenly that if you double tap the earpiece that it does not pause the auto. But in fact, it does.
Oh, good.
Yes, it doesn't. What it doesn't do the magical remove the pause the audio when you remove or replace the thing in your ear, but you can double tap it to pause and play.
Yeah, that is kind of magical. So I'm not surprised. Yeah. What is that accelerometer in the earbud? How does that work?
I believe it is not an accelerometer, but a proximity detector.
Ah.
Because if you pull it out,
proximity to the other earbud.
To flesh, I guess, because if you put it in your pocket, it doesn't start playing again. But if you keep it in your closed fist, it does keep playing.
Okay.
So you have to pull it by its little spermy tail, and it shuts off. And then I usually stick it in the change pocket of my jeans, and it doesn't continue playing.
Yeah.
But with Android, it doesn't magically do that, so you do have to double tap it. Yeah. Anyway, a little errata.
Actually, a watch pocket.
It is, in fact, and then I think it was referred to as a change pocket in the 80s. That's what we all thought it was for when you carried change around. And then we became...
I have weird pet peeves.
Oh, yeah?
It's a watch pocket.
That's true. And then when I was in college, it was for a different kind of half-dollar-sized piece of...
yeah.
Piece of rubber. Yeah, anyway... What were we going to talk about? Oh, yeah.
Terrifying robot cats.
Yes, robots. So our namesake, Terrifying Robot Dog, I think it was called Big Dog from Boston Robotics.
Boston Robotics, yeah.
Boston Dynamics. Yeah. Sorry.
It was purchased by MIT or acquired by or part of MIT or somehow affiliated or related with MIT.
Is that? Okay. I'm remembering it wrong then because I thought Google bought them.
And, they might have, but maybe they did. But didn't it originally start as an MIT thing?
That's highly likely.
Or maybe MIT is just also doing their own thing, and I'm confused because they're both in Boston.
Could be. Yep. Well, yeah. So this particular one, the Cheetah class of terrifying robots, is there's a recent article that we saw where this sort of 90-pound, it's kind of Labrador sized, I would say, from the look of it. And it's similar to the other ones. It's got the kind of like scissor legs. That sounds scary. And the, fully articulated knee joints that can go all the way around. But the difference with this one that's interesting is it has no cameras. It has no, it's not like something I don't think the other ones you drive them necessarily, although I've seen people remote control them in person. Mm-hmm. But in the article, they mentioned that, when they sent, they've sent these sorts of robots into like nuclear reactor meltdowns in the past, and the camera gets fried, and then they can't do anything.
So they need to be able to get around.
Yeah, on their own. In the dark, so to speak. So this particular one, they've got videos of it going upstairs without really any vision, computer vision of the situation. It's just how do you say it? Proprioception, which is just a sense of the body in space. And they've got like wood blocks thrown all over the stairs, and the thing just sort of like works its way up relatively successfully. And so here's the other interesting thing about this particular model is that it's a lot smaller without all of that extra like LiDAR stuff.
Yeah, I was noticing it looked pretty streamlined.
Yeah, very streamlined for something like this. They're normally pretty bulky.
Yeah, the name makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And of course, they can outrun you and chase you down now in the dark. So,
yeah, well, there is that, yeah.
Through a melting down nuclear reactor.
Yes.
90-pound robot without any cameras to dodge obstacles. New algorithms help it navigate its environment by touch. So that's very,
it could find a phone on my desk.
Exactly, right. Maybe this is, we've started talking about our new puppy, so, you know.
Yeah, there you go. Make it a kitty instead.
Right, terrifying robot cat. This is one of the cuter ones I've seen as far as robots go.
Yeah, you know, you could slap some faux fur over that thing and...
Boom, you're done.
There you go. It's the hottest Christmas craze. And the cheetah is an MIT.
Yes.
Kitty.
It is. Let's see if we can answer our question before Boston Dynamics. We've seen it. Spot uses cameras. Oh, yeah. Meet Spot Mini, now available in kid-friendly yellow. I would say Boston Dynamics is, based on the look of this, they're leaders here. But it's interesting that the... that I was going to say subtle difference in the design. It's probably a huge, very complicated thing to do. And is a fundamental difference between, you know, using cameras and not using cameras. But, you know, for someone who's sort of outside of it and doesn't really know what's involved, it seems like a small difference, but addresses a completely different kind of use case, you know? So it's like, I visited a place where they make stuff like this. I think it can't still be under NDA, but I'm sure I signed one at one point, so I won't go into details, but
yeah, I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. And they in the lobby, there were like, I'm going to say like 40 different types of robots that were like everything from the size of, you know, like, I don't know, like a bread box up to, something that you could get inside, like two people could fit inside of, like the size of a Jeep.
Yeah.
And all sorts of different military applications. These were, I think, they weren't all military, but mostly. And I don't know. It's like, okay, wow, we've got this robot that can run around, it can go upstairs, it can jump over fences, it can do all this stuff. And okay, great. Now what? Like, what's it for? Yeah. Military is obvious, and like bomb defusing and looking for landmines and those sorts of things, of course. But you can imagine all sorts of, I think we're going to see all sorts of different applications of like, well, now that we've got this capability, and then eventually, of course, what happens next? The price goes down.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, what else could you do with it? There's your segue.
Yeah, you were just a little bit too soon there. I was going to say you could throw it through the air at Disney.
Yeah, exactly. Now that they're cheap, we can take this, like LIDAR equipped advanced robot with AI and just chuck it.
Yeah, and see what happens. Let's just put it on a big slingshot and boom.
Yeah, trebuchet that thing.
Yeah.
So yeah, like Disney is working on these humanoid robots that
they're still calling them animatronics, but let's get real, they're robots.
Yeah, because I mean animatronics is like, come on, I've been on Pirates of the Caribbean, it's like,
yeah,
you know, it's like,
that's a very good representation of that.
Why, thank you. Yeah, you're not fooling anybody.
No.
But what they're working on, they're like, okay, people are coming to the parks, they're expecting to see more than that. You know, the guy put it politely, well, there's a disconnect between what they see on screen and then when they see these characters, you know, these animatronic characters in person, there's a disconnect.
Yeah, like they're watching The Incredibles and they're flying all over the place and punching things and crushing stuff. And but then they go to the park and it's, you know, like this stiffly animated robot, you know, character that does nothing.
Yeah, it's basically a mannequin with a motor in the, you know, in like one shoulder or the waist or something.
Right.
And, you know, it's not Disney, but I went on the Harry Potter ride and they do like some holographic stuff that's super interesting.
I was just going to say, I've seen them do holographics for a lot of that stuff now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is really cool, but you've got to be in the dark in this very controlled environment. And what they're doing is saying like, oh, well, imagine if you were at a... you know, like, it, I think it was Universal.
Just walking around the park.
Yeah, you're just walking around the park and boom, like Spider-Man goes flying over doing like flips.
Yeah.
It's dramatic. It was very, it's just this little tiny YouTube video of like their experiments was just very impressive. You know, you can see what they're going for.
Yeah, I would go, like, if you imagine this, if this took off and got really good, like, I would go to theme parks just for the robots.
Have you seen Westworld?
No, I haven't.
Okay, well, you might want to watch it first.
Sounds like I might want to.
I haven't watched it either, to tell you the truth, but I saw the original, and someone was telling me about the sort of plot line of Westworld, and I'm like, yeah. And he's like, what do you mean, yeah? I thought you said you hadn't seen it. I'm like, well, I saw the original in the 70s. He's like, there was an original in the 70s? I was like, yeah, youngster. But yeah, you know, it's basically a theme park populated with android, and, you know, robots. And, you know, you live out fantasies. So, yeah, it's like you could totally imagine, like, the environment sort of, I picture like you're inside of this, normally in one of these really advanced exhibits, you're like inside in this controlled environment in the dark, and you're in this kind of like a giant roller coaster car that can shake around and go in all these different directions, like Willy Wonka's elevator. And, you know, and they're blowing heat at you when the dragon's, the hologram dragon is breathing fire and stuff. And it does trick your brain, and it's kind of like being inside of a VR headset in a way.
Right.
But it is not the same. I guarantee, like, walking down the main drag there at Disney and seeing, like, Spider-Man just go flying over you would... I mean, the kids would lose their minds.
Yeah, they would. They would.
It would be so cool. There are just tons of opportunity for that. Like, that parade that they do every night. I've only been to Disney, like, as an adult, like, once. But it was at Halloween, and they did just really over-the-top, fun... Just the experience is amazing. I have to admit, I wasn't expecting to be blown away by it, but I definitely was. But man, you add robots into the mix, so cool.
Yeah, that would be so much fun.
Between the cheetah and the dogs and the Spider-Man and all that stuff, you could put together like a whole circus.
Yeah.
Very acrobatic.
Yeah, that'd be a lot of fun.
I can't believe you haven't seen Westworld.
No, I haven't.
Well, I don't want to... No spoilers, but...
Yeah, I may have to check it out now.
The premise is, yeah.
I'm about to finish up Goliath, so...
Cool. What'd you think of season two?
I haven't started season two. I should say I'm about to finish up season one.
Oh, okay. And what do you think of season one?
It's great.
Okay, good. I hate when I steer people wrong.
Yeah.
But I absolutely love that show, man.
Yeah, I need something to fill the expanse-shaped void in my life.
No kidding. So good. Yeah, well, I've been hearing good things about Westworld, too. But, yeah, season two of Goliath. I think it's worth watching. But a lot of people were like...
Not as good as season one.
It's a whole different story. Like, season one is like its own entity, and season two is onto a different case. And it's very different. Let's just put it like that. A lot less in the courtroom.
Okay.
So less. It feels less legal drama and more thriller.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. But top 10 villain. Like, there's a villain in it that is like top 10 creepiest. It's got to be top 10 creepiest villains of all time. Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. I'll watch it just to see that, what you're talking about there, and if nothing else.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Cool.
Well, what else is going on? How's your 4th of July?
It was good. I mean,
do you have 10 fingers still?
Yeah, I didn't do any. Well, we did all that stuff like the Saturday before, because we had friends over and what have you. So, we had some neighbors doing questionable things. Uncomfortably close to our house, but you know, and of course the dogs were freaking out and it was weird just because it was in the middle of the week, and like neighbors all around us, I guess, felt like they had to do fireworks every night for like a solid week.
Uh-huh.
And so we've just been dealing with a lot of frightened dogs.
Yeah.
It's a lot of pacing and cowering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, fortunately for us, our dog is pretty close to deaf at this point. And so that's good on 4th of July anyway. Yeah. And the kids are old enough to not be like super freaked out by it.
Right.
So
yeah, I rewatched Ready Player One last night.
I have not seen it yet.
Oh, you haven't?
Are you trying to tell me that it's available on like Amazon or something?
It is available on Amazon. I got it on Amazon last night.
I know what I'm doing tonight. I
watched it. I love that movie.
Good. I'm so stoked.
Don't compare it to the book.
Nah. I don't even remember the book, to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
I was talking, not recently, but I remember trying to explain to someone like who saw the movie that it was surprising, you know, because I listened to it and I don't retain nearly as much when I listen to a book as I do when I read it.
Yeah, I don't either.
So it's almost, you know, you can kind of, well, you just did it. You can watch movies over again relatively soon. Mm-hmm. And I can't reread a book relatively soon.
No, I can't either. In fact, if I read a book, unless I love the book, I'm never reading it again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like maybe 15 years later.
Right.
To be like, oh, does this hold up? Or like, like, have I changed so much that this hits me in a different way, you know?
Yeah. Or like childhood nostalgia hits you and you're like, oh, I want to go back and re-experience that.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like reading, you know, we're just finishing, it's taken us forever, but we're just finishing Two Towers, Cooper and I. And it's like, I was probably 13 when I read that. Maybe I was 11.
Right.
So it's like 25, 30 years ago, more than that. And I kind of remember it, but I forgot a lot, you know? I forgot tons.
Yeah, like I remember the movies more than the book at this point.
I'm going to watch the first one. And just because we finished Fellowship of the Ring. I'm like, oh, I'm going to watch the movie. I could not watch it.
Couldn't get through it?
No. I watched them when they came out and I liked them. I was like, wow, I can't believe they didn't ruin the whole thing.
Yeah.
But when I watched it recently, I was like, these special effects are awful. And I couldn't get around it. I couldn't get around like the
makeup.
Yeah, it's
really dated at this point.
Yeah, it's like the hobbits are just really hard to look at. I don't know, the styrofoam feet, it looked like they're wearing like slippers or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'm lucky that there's not a lot of stuff like that that I just don't notice.
Yeah, maybe I should close one eye.
Yeah, maybe half close the other one or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's like a lot of times Richard will come in and I'll be like, quote unquote, watching TV. And I'm sitting here looking at something else and just listening to it. It's like, how can you watch TV? It's like, I don't have to see it to know what's going on.
Well, it's like this new cheetah robot.
Yeah, exactly.
They should make shoes of it. So you could just like wear cheetahs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Isn't there a brand of shoe called? I think that already is a brand of shoe.
Cheetah.
I mean, obviously, they're not like this, but I think there is
Puma.
There's Puma, but I think there's a Cheetah brand of shoe as well.
I don't know.
You want to get out your Googler? I can't get out mine without killing the audio because of my Comic Through Loud keyboard.
Yeah. Same thing here, actually. I can do it on my phone. I don't think there's a shoe called Cheetah, unless it's a ripoff of Puma. I think you might be thinking of Cheetos.
No. Well,
let's see.
The Cheetos guy did have big feet and fancy shoes. The Chester.
Well, I just did cheetah shoes, and what I got was cheetah print Vans, which are dashing, I have to say.
Okay.
I might get myself a pair of those.
There you go.
But it would be, there's a use case for robot shoes, mm-hmm. and you just put them on and stand there.
And they just take you places?
Yeah. Like Uber for your feet.
Yeah. Terrifying robot segue, something, I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, but they'd have to be, they couldn't just be shoes that you wore. They'd have to have, like, they'd have to be shoes with their own legs. Otherwise, they have to, like, convince you to bend your knees at the proper times.
Oh, yeah. I'm picturing legs hanging off your feet.
Okay.
Like robot legs.
Legs hanging off your feet. Okay.
Yeah. Like high heels, but four heels.
Mm-hmm.
With knees.
Yeah. Can I get them in like a red and...
Of course. Oh, yeah.
Sequence.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah.
So looks like it looks like, so to our earlier point, it looks like SoftBank might be who bought Boston Dynamics.
Really?
Yeah, owned by Japanese telecom and tech giant SoftBank.
Yep. I thought Google owned them at one point.
I would have sworn that that was the case, but perhaps they have moved on.
Perhaps.
I don't know, but they're cranking out. I mean, like, I'm clicking through like all of these images and videos of stuff that's coming. It's like, going to be seeing, like, do you have to walk them? Like, you see people or in my neighborhood, like at 5 o'clock, there's just, it's like our corner is like, we'll be outside drawing chalk on the sidewalk. And it's like old home week every night that we're out there. Cause like everybody gets home from work, starts walking their dogs. They'll hang out on the corner. Cause we live right on a corner. And you can just picture like taking the robot dogs out.
Like everybody out with their robot dogs.
Yeah. Like the robot dog doesn't need to be walked, but the people get home from work and they want to go for a walk. So they take the robot out.
The robot dog walks them.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with that. You could ride it if you get tired.
Yeah, you could. Good. And, you know, they probably pull on the leash less than my dog does.
I would assume so.
Yeah.
You could certainly program that.
Yeah, I would. You know, if I could have robot legs coming off of Elvis's feet, I would totally do that.
Nice. Oh, you know what we forgot? There's a story about a drone motorcycle.
Ooh.
Let me pull this up real quick. Yeah. Yep. Let's see. I don't want to click on the YouTube one. Let's see here. World's first flying motorcycle.
Nice.
It is
a hover bike.
Hover Surf. A Russian company builds the first drone motorcycle, the Scorpion 3. And it can be yours for a mere $150,000. And it looks like actually it looks like one of those, you know, those things in like kiddie park that you sit on and it's attached to the ground by this huge spring and the kids kind of like, it kind of looks like a dinosaur, one of those.
Nice. Oh, does that mean I could one day realize my dream of having my own Yoshi?
Yeah, that's what it looks like.
Okay.
Yes, that's what it looks like from the side.
Nice.
It's almost like a nod to a Kawasaki shaped motorcycle, but it looks more like a Yoshi.
Nice.
And it's got these, you know, four propellers. You know, it's big enough to lift a dude and go like, you know, 40 miles an hour. I can't remember. I saw the max height. I can't remember the max height, but let's go to Hover Surf. I mean, if you go to hoversurf.com, like the homepage is like just this giant video of the thing. It's ridiculous. I mean, it's flying car territory. I think the initial use case is for police.
Okay, yeah, I could see that.
It doesn't go that fast, so I don't know where you would. What you would need it for, but it's, you could imagine like a, you know, a situation like a manhunt type of thing. Yeah, in the woods.
unless you're after a particularly fit criminal.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you couldn't go as fast as like a normal motorcycle, but it, you know, obviously off-road capabilities are off the charts. So
yeah, I was trying to think of the name of the guy that the Cookie Crisp cop is always after, because I was like, you know, he's probably pretty slow.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, the Cookie Crisp commercials from the 80s where the Cookie Crisp cop was always after this guy that was stealing the Cookie Crisp. I was trying to think of his name, and I think he was just, you know, the Cookie Crisp thief. I don't think the character had a name. But I was thinking, you know, you could chase him in one of those because he eats all those cookies. He's probably not very fast.
Right. Like the Cookie Crisp burglar.
Yeah, or maybe like Hamburglar.
Hamburglar,
you know, he's eating McDonald's all the time.
This would be perfect for chasing the Hamburglar.
It would be.
Huh. There's no way Grimace would fit on this thing, though.
That's what I was saying. I always had that same thought.
What do you, like, okay, so in the video, like, the person's wearing a helmet. Like, come on. If you fall off that thing, you're dead.
Yeah.
It's way up in the air.
You should be wearing a parachute.
Yeah.
Although it's not that far up in the air.
40 feet at least. I mean, yeah, I guess a helmet wouldn't hurt. Let's see here. Okay, so they're electric. The range is 21 kilometers. So, yeah, 13 miles. That's maximum speed is about 40, 50 miles an hour. 20 minutes of flight time. Bad. Yikes. I bet you it has a really powerful alarm when you're about to run out of battery.
It probably does. It probably lands whether you want it to or not.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, like my... I went a few weeks ago. I was visiting a cousin, and he had a Phantom, a DJI Phantom.
Yep.
And he would take it out, and he was flying it around. And there was one point where the battery got low, and it was just like, nope, I'm coming back.
Yep. Yeah. Otherwise, that was an expensive, whoopsie.
Yep.
Where did it land? Hoverbike One is an extreme sports machine for those who are not afraid of height and speed.
Nice.
Layout of Hover One is like an ordinary motorcycle, but it can fly. Just like an ordinary motorcycle. Wow. This is interesting. In most countries, registration or a pilot's license is not required when the aircraft weighs below 115 kilograms. Hover One suits this requirement. The weight of this hover bike is 229 pounds with battery.
Interesting.
Yeah. Wild. Well, and this one that I'm looking at is different than the original one. The Yoshi one I was describing. Mm-hmm. This one looks a lot like a Kawasaki.
Okay.
It's sort of like angular, leaned forward kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man, that's wild. I actually would try this. Like, I'm not super daring, like stuff like that, but I would try this.
Yeah, I'd fly like, you know, maybe 10 or 12 feet off the ground. I don't want to go 40.
Mm-hmm.
But you could convince me to try it and it'd be a few feet off the ground. And really, that's all you need.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, looking at it, it seems like there's a very clear and present danger of falling into the blades. There's like 100 ways you could fall into the blades.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
There's a lot going on here.
Yeah. Yeah, they need some kind of, I don't know, I don't know if you could have blade guards on them, because then you couldn't, you know, then your airflow would be restricted.
Yeah.
Weird.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Your flying car is almost here.
Nice.
I noticed that these videos don't have audio.
It's probably incredibly loud.
I'm sure, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's not quite as sleek and streamlined as your typical, you know, land speeder, but...
Correct. That would kind of be cool. Like, if it didn't go super high,
mm-hmm.
and it was just like... a different way to have a motorcycle. Like, it was like just
literally a hover bike.
Right.
Like hover car height.
Yeah.
Hovering.
Yeah. Just no wheels.
Right. Like, if it just had the skirt and you know, just like a small hovercraft, just in a bicycle form or motorbike form factor.
Right. That's cool. All right. Well, we've officially made it to the future. Maybe. Mm-hmm. So like, I guess we could imagine, you know, like, an android flying one of these things. So that would be... Talk about a... Disney needs to make a movie where someone drives around on one of these things, and then they've got the whole... They've got everything.
They do. They've got the whole... Yeah. They could do a cop show.
Mm-hmm. Future cop show.
Where they chase after fat criminals.
Yeah. Where robots on hover bikes chase after the Hamburglar.
Yeah.
Mm. Cool.
I got my Gen Con badges today.
Exciting.
Yes.
Did you talk about, I don't remember if we talked about the costume change.
Oh, no, but there's been a costume change. Uh-huh. So, yeah, I'm no longer doing the Ready Player One. Although I have to admit, after watching the movie last night, I did briefly reconsider because it's so good.
Mm.
But I have my pure and clean jumpsuit.
Love it.
Already. And my OPA backpack. And, yeah.
So cool. And when is that?
It is August 2nd. Well, August 1st. Well, it officially starts August 2nd, and then it goes through to Sunday, but we're going up August 1st, and I've signed us up for, like, this arena battle type foam weapon fighting thing Wednesday night, so. You know.
Yeah, of course. Nice. Well, cool. Looking forward to the recap of that.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
All right, sweet. So maybe we should stick a fork in it for this week.
Yeah, probably so.
A little bit of a robot drone waffle cast for you folks. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that's it for this week. I'm Jonathan Stark.
And I'm Kelly Chambers.
And we hope you join us again next week for Terrifying Robot Dog. Bye.